Hello and welcome to the Sounding Out the Word podcast, a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah, where our mission is to spread the gospel, disciple the nations, and help people find hope here at Anchor Baptist Church. My name is Tyler Thomas, and joining me today in the studio is Pastor Jason Atwood, the pastor of Anchor Baptist Church. Good morning, Pastor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well, and certainly looking forward to the podcast today. Looking forward to the Lord's Day as well, and I hope if you're listening this Saturday evening or Saturday morning that you're getting ready for the Lord's Day tomorrow and getting ready to be in church and getting ready to bring with you a smile, an offering, and your Bible to the Lord's house. Looking forward to serving Him.
Amen. That's the best part of my week, and I can't wait. But yeah, so today we've titled today's episode, Obedience is Not Legalism. And I think that this is a very important topic because today's seeker-sensitive Christianity will often throw around the term legalism to create a false representation of what true Bible-believing, obedient Christianity is, all in an attempt to try and assure their body of potentially new members that this church is here to make you feel good and let you continue your sinful lifestyle. They misrepresent who God is, what He wants, or even, I should say, demands from His people. And with that, they end up stripping their members of the blessings of the fruit of an obedient lifestyle, all in order to try and grow their numbers and maybe increase their revenue somewhat.
You know, when we come to God's house, we ought to leave different than we came. And that ought to be the desire of the church, the pastor, but it also ought to be the desire of the people that come and attend. But like you mentioned, sadly, many times the thrust is come as you are and really leave as you are. Mm. We don't desire to see you change. We really don't want the Bible to work in your life as far as this issue of sanctification and separation from the world. The Bible is very clear, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. And so God desires through the teaching of the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament, that His people are distinct, they are different, and they are continually drawing closer to Him in their outward walk with Him and their testimony. And when we talk about obedience, that's what we're talking about. Obedience to what? To the doctrine of holiness, to the doctrine of separation.
Right. And really, if you think from a practical perspective, if a lost person walks into a church, maybe a Sunday morning, they feel the drawing of God, and they go to a church and they see that it's exactly the same as the world that they live in and that there's nothing different, what really are they going to see that they're getting out of this? They're maybe giving money to a social club in their mind, and they might stick around for a couple months, but they might never get saved in that sort of situation because the Christians who are in that church are not living the lifestyle that God wants us to live. They're not preaching the things mm-hmm. that God wants us to preach on. And really, they're often abusing the doctrine of Christian liberty as just an excuse to live out their sins and feel like they don't need to change.
Right. Throw in God's grace. Right. God's grace allows them to do that. You know, that reminds me, there was just an article that was written. I believe it was last week or 2 weeks ago. You might have seen it or heard about it. And it was a lost man, but he was writing sort of to church from his perspective. And really, he brought across the idea that we already know, but he said it from a lost man's perspective, that if I go to your church and you are no different than the world or what I see at a club or a bar or a social event, he said, you're not doing anything.
Right.
He said, I there needs to be something different if you're really going to be what he would say successful in what you're doing. And if not, well, then you're just really a cheap imitation of what the world is doing already.
And so when you bring this point up to certain Christians, to these sort of seeker-sensitive churches, they'll often throw that term legalist at you, mm-hmm. and they'll say, oh, well, you're just a legalist. You want people to follow all these rules. When in reality, legalism has a real salvific implication. It's a real term, and right. we should talk about what that is and why what Bible-believing Christianity preaches is not legalism.
I have to be honest. I get tired of people, you know, throwing that around. You're a legalist in the fact that they really don't even know what that means. It's right. Like, are you really telling me you think we are saying the Bible is teaching this so that you can be saved?
Right.
So it shows you they really misdefine it and have no idea what it even means.
Well, and the worst part is oftentimes these are so-called Christian leaders.
Yeah.
But okay, so definition-wise, legalism is defined as the attachment of behaviors, disciplines, practices, works, in addition to your belief to achieve salvation and right standing before God. And salvation, that's justification, that's forgiveness of sins, that's your ability to get into heaven. Legalism says that you have to do works. So some examples of this. If you believe that you can do enough good deeds to be saved, you're thinking legalistically.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that you must maintain a consistent set of good deeds to keep your salvation, you're being legalistic. You know, we could go through the whole list here of common misconceptions, but if you believe that you have to be baptized in order to enter into heaven, if you believe you must speak in tongues, if you believe you must take communion to be saved for your salvation, then that's legalistic. But Bible-believing Christianity preaches that you must have faith in the work that Jesus Christ has mm-hmm. done and not of your own works, because God doesn't want you to boast. You look at Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, right. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
Well, you know, and the Pharisees were the world's best at, and their life is a definition of legalist. When you look at them, they had all the outward trimmings of being religious and looking right and doing right, but their heart was far from God.
Mm.
But they to the very definition, believed that they were doing these things to be acceptable and to be pleasing to God, and rejecting the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, the finished work of
right.
the Lord Jesus Christ.
The full sufficiency of
Absolutely.
Christ's work, yeah. And even today, there are many religions and denominations that are known for these sorts of teachings.
Yeah.
A couple that come off the top of my mind are Catholicism.
Yeah.
And I know you've dealt with a lot of that in Texas, but you're familiar with the fact that, you know, there are the sacraments. You have to attend Mass. You have to go to this specific church to be saved.
Mm-hmm. And they will tell you, you know, you're saved by, oh yes, you're saved by grace through faith, but then they'll add this, you need to continue to live it.
Right.
Well, that's a works-based salvation, or at best, a works-based maintenance of your salvation. And the Bible is clear in the book of Romans that if our salvation is of works, it's no longer of grace, and if it's grace, it's no longer works. There's no admixture of either of the two, so that's out.
Right, and even what tends to get grouped under Orthodox Christian denominations, such as Methodists, there are certain Methodist churches that believe that salvation is a lifelong works-based process.
Mm-hmm.
You have to continue to do good deeds. You have to continue to be socially aware and do all these things, or else you could lose your salvation. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that it is your faith in the finished work and person of Jesus Christ.
So let me ask you this. What happens when people identify with maybe those denominations who teach a work salvation? What happens when they oftentimes hear of that, or they maybe have come out of that, and then they see churches who teach obedience to Christ? What then happens?
Yeah, so you end up with someone who's maybe grown up in this religious system where they're told, you have to do this, you have to do that. And they realize that being imperfect humans, being of a sinful nature, it's not possible to be perfect. And so they leave that because they've fallen out of, you know, whatever that religion teaches. And then they see obedient Christians from a Bible-believing church where we are preaching salvation by faith alone, but we are doing the things that God loves because we love God. And they look at that, and from the outside and from what the world tells them, they look at that and they say, oh, well, you're just a bunch of legalists.
Right.
Why would I join you? You're just a bunch of holier than thou, you know, what's the term, Bible thumpers.
Right, or holy rollers, yeah.
Yeah. And that can ultimately prevent them from becoming born again, from getting to a place where they hear the gospel and just turn and put their faith
mm-hmm.
In Jesus Christ.
And I think it boils down to, and it's very simplistic, but it boils down to, are your works, are they the root of what you believe your salvation is, or are they the fruit
right.
of your salvation? And a lot of religions and denominations do not make that distinction. But we want to be very clear as Bible believers and at Anchor Baptist Church that the works that we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ since we've been saved are a fruit of the root of salvation. They're a fruit of the root of faith that we expressed in Him. And then He works out His work in us and teaches us what we ought to be doing and how we ought to be living for Him.
Yeah, and I want to make sure that we're all, you know, very clear here. There is no idea that, you know, once you get saved, everything all of a sudden becomes easy. You know, sanctification, becoming a separated person from the world is a lifelong learning process.
Right.
And so you're going to have to battle against the flesh. The Bible tells us to, you know, walk in the Spirit, that walking in the Spirit, you'll always be, you know, walking against the flesh. And as sinful flesh having humans, that's difficult to do at times.
Mm-hmm.
But it is through, you know, prayer, asking God for strength, getting involved in the local New Testament church, reading our Bibles, that we can start to crucify the old flesh. We can crucify the old man and learn to walk with God.
You know, we're justified at the moment of salvation. But sanctification, like you mentioned, is a lifelong process. But sometimes we forget that there's that, I guess, a two-part aspect of it. We are positionally sanctified at the moment of salvation. We're set apart. We have a new standing with Christ positionally. But practically, not every day do we live in that position. Not every day do we exercise that we are now called sons of God. And so certainly that's what we're talking about this morning, that aspect of practical sanctification in our life. Most people believe that legalism is the defining, the preaching, the practicing of the biblical doctrine of separation. Now, they won't call it that. The word that they use today is standards, and that's certainly a hot button word, but really it is the doctrine of separations. Most modern Christians don't have a problem with you practicing separation or standards. They're perfectly happy with their pastor having standards and his children and wife having standards and the deacons having standards. But this is where they begin to call it legalism when you suggest that they too should live a holy life.
And it's interesting because if you look at the two letters that Paul writes to the Corinthians, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. Paul is telling them, hey, you guys are still living in fornication. You guys are basically... You may be saved, you may have faith in Jesus Christ, but you're certainly not showing it, and you're not helping anyone else achieve that. And so that's biblical standard right there to edify and to admonish church members who are not trying to live out the fruits of their salvation.
Sure, you know, Acts 15 is a great example of how that church leaders in Jerusalem, if we remember the account there, leaders from Antioch came down to Jerusalem because they had Gentile believers in their church and throughout Asia Minor that weren't practicing cultural Judaism because they were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. And so they came down to Jerusalem, and we sometimes refer to Acts 15 as the Jerusalem Council, and they came down there asking advice on how they should be living. Should they be practicing the culture of a Jew? How should they be conducting themselves as new believers? Because they were Gentiles, they were realizing that Jesus died for everybody, not just for the Jews. And they specifically told them, James, the pastor of the church at Jerusalem there, and leaders told them that yes, Gentiles were saved, they were believers, but they did need to be practicing areas of separation and standards, which specifically was one of the things he mentioned was don't eat meat with the blood. Really, sin versus or evil versus righteousness, it was an issue of standards. It was an issue of separating from the world and having that good testimony for the world. So had nothing to do with their salvation, but everything to do with their testimony. And that is the setting of standards.
Yeah, and you know, we talk about, again, the idea of separation, right? God is holy. which means God is set apart. He's set apart from sin. He is all that is good, and he is set apart from all that is evil. As believers, as born-again Christians, we will never achieve that perfect standard here on earth, but we should be that picture of what God is, and that should be what drives people to the door. They look at us, they see, and again, it's not a holier than thou. I'm not better than you. I'm just trying to live out the fruits of my salvation so that others might come and see the light of Jesus Christ through the works that we're doing.
Right. And we're to constantly be conforming to the image, or allowing him to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we think about this aspect of legalism, kind of talked about the positive aspect of it on the side of, you know, that it's the fruit of our faith, not the root of it. But a lot of times we talked about the fact that people, you know, throw out the word legalism because of maybe their background that they came from, or they've heard a lot of teaching on a works-based salvation. But sadly, we also have to address this point that many people decry the preaching and practicing of holy living because someone along the lines in their life has abused and misused the preaching of separation and holy living. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to ignore the fact that that does take place. God has called every Christian to live a holy life, a separated life, but not every Christian is separated simply because they are in a different area of growth in their life. They haven't been saved as long. They're simply not as mature. And so sometimes when we see people that are not as mature as other people, they are pressured, they are pushed into conforming to that mature Christian standard of living instead of being taught what the basis for it is.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going back to the idea that, again, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, while we are here on earth, we are going to be sinful. Our flesh will have influence in how we live our lives. And some people go exactly the opposite, like kind of like what you're saying, or even they reach a point of maturity, and then the holier than thou feeling might start to set in to some people. And like you said, they might start to pressure other church members to, hey, you have to live like this because I'm living like this.
Well, yeah, it becomes their label of spirituality,
right?
Their kind of banner.
Yeah.
I have this standard, so therefore I am spiritual. And that is not what the Bible teaches either. And sometimes, sadly, we're guilty of, instead of teaching the principles and doctrine of separation, we sometimes say, do what I do because I said so,
right?
Instead of actually teaching why we're to be separate, why we are to have standards and live a life that's yielded to God.
Right, and faith oftentimes, I think, comes about through seeking truth, right? God draws you and you want to seek, not with an ego, you just want to look for, you know, why to believe. Some people, you know, they come to God in different ways, but I'm speaking kind of from my own background here. I think it took a point of wanting to really find out what the truth of this world was, and you know, through that discovery and through, you know, God's grace, I was able to find the truth of Christianity, and I became very open to it because I was led there, you know, through many of the other Christians I met along my walk. And it was never an enforcement of these standards, but a realization that as the more truth I began to collect and understand, the more I realized who God was and what he expects. And so it becomes a lot more natural, I should say, to really start to bear that fruit. You become more spiritual because your walk with God is a walk that you have started to take. And when the more mature Christian starts to try to enforce those standards, it can actually push you away because you're like, whoa,
right.
I'm walking this at my pace. Now, I would say continue to walk. You know, Christianity is a lifelong system of growth. It's a lifelong pursuit of a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's wonderful because it doesn't matter, you know, what your sins are or what works you do, in the sense that, like, you will be positionally justified. And then from that point, if you are actively seeking to love God, that fruit will come naturally.
You know, there's, and it goes along with what you're saying, there's transforming power in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the same Holy Spirit that speaks to me is the same Holy Spirit that will speak to other people as well. And when the emphasis is on the Bible and the emphasis is on God's Word, and this is what God says, especially in the subject of holiness and sanctification, it removes man from the equation and makes us realize a real, visible, holy life comes from a fellowship with a holy God. You've been listening to Sounding Out the Word podcast, a ministry of Anchor Baptist Church in Salt Lake City, Utah. I'm Pastor Jason Atwood, joined with Tyler Thomas, and we're so thankful to have you listening. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.